We're going to be in John chapter 17 this morning. So if you'll find that and stand, we'll read our text this morning, John chapter 17. This is an amazing passage of Scripture when Jesus has finished his discourse to his disciples, and then he begins to pray for his disciples, and this has been called an intercessory prayer or the high priestly prayer. And so he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for God's grace in them, but look what it says in verse number 20 as he's finishing up his time of prayer with them. Verse 20 of John 17. Jesus says this as he prays, "Neither pray I for these alone," so not just for his disciples. He says, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and as thou hast loved me." Several times in this passage, Jesus says that they would be one. And so we're going to be talking about unity this morning and how God wants to unify and how he uses unity in the church to make a difference in the community. So let's pray and we'll ask God for his blessings and then we'll get started. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you this morning. So I pray for your help. I pray for your spirit, for your guidance. Empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. I pray that we would be in the midst of spirit-filled listeners this morning, that you would do your work. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Man had been stranded on an island for many years, and he was finally discovered, and his rescuers came ashore to this island. And before he had gathered all of his things, he wanted to show the rescuers around to the community where he, where he had lived. And he showed him, first of all, his house that he had built. And so his rescuers came to the house and he showed them all the things that he had done there. And he said, "I built this house with my own two hands." And then he showed them a few other structures, and then he took them to his church, and he said, "This is my church, and I built this church with my own two hands." And then the rescuers noticed another building on the other side of the island, and one of the rescuers looked at the man and said, "You know, what's that building over there on the other side?" And he said, "That's where I used to go to church." You know what's amazing? Is how we can have disunity and do it all by ourselves. Just by walking in, we have a tendency to see the things around us that bug us and disturb us or unsettle us. And so there's a disunity, and we don't even have to be around other people to have it. You know what? What's most important, I would say, as it relates to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, and the effectiveness that you'll have to get the gospel to this community, is unity in the church. God knows that. There needs to be unity between each other. And there needs to be a unity established within this community right here, as we talked about the community of the church in Sunday school this morning. Because God wants to use Valley Avenue Baptist Church to reach the community of Falls City. And what will cause you to have what you to be equipped with what you need to reach this community is unity. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you'll not be effective. You'll not be able to be used. You'll be a deflection. It'll distract. It'll cause people to not be attracted to this place. I'm talking about disunity. And so it needs to be cultivated. It needs to be understood what brings unity and how God uses it. It needs to be a part of the foundation of what this church is going to be built on. or it can't be built. The disciples would need that. Just like Valley Avenue Baptist Church would, it will need and needs unity to, you know, to cultivate an atmosphere, you know, that will attract, but then also will, you know, allow the gospel to do its work in the community. The disciples would need that too. Now, if you can this morning maybe relate to, and it's not hard to relate to this, but the devil would like nothing more than to end or to destroy the testimony of this church. He would love nothing more than to hinder the work of the gospel in the people that you know. Now, every person in this room this morning is connected to your very own sphere of influence or community out in this world that we live. And so there are people that God wants to use you specifically to reach. And the devil would love nothing more than to hinder that work. And so the devil seeks to disrupt the unity of his church so that he can disrupt what God wants to do in your life, in this community, and through this church. Well, the same is true for the disciples. Now think about it. These are the men that God is going to use to get the gospel to the world. Because of the apostles, you and I have something to preach about this morning. We have something to gather about and to promote and to go into this world, like sowing the seed and telling people about Jesus. The reason why we have the ability to do that is because the apostles. And that they would have the message and they would move forward in obedience to the Great Commission and preach about preach Jesus to the world, and people would get saved, and because of that it would spread and go to the next community and would reach all the way to Nebraska, and people would get saved in Falls City, Nebraska, but it would be anchored all the way back to the obedience of the apostles preaching the gospel. And so there would need to be a unity established all the way at the beginning of the ministry of the apostles. And so Jesus in this would speak to the apostles in this way, saying over and over again in this passage that he prays for their unity. He prays for their oneness. He prays that they would have strength in this and wouldn't be distracted by things that cause disruption because of the importance of what they're called to do. Now, let's think about this. God is wanting to use the apostles, and God is wanting to use us. And so the way he prays for them is the way he prays for us. And how he equips them is the way he equips us today. It's not like he equips one way then and another way now. He works in us and he works through us. And so the strength that he prays for them, God will work in us in the same way. Look at verse 20. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So the unity is established here as Jesus prays for them that will believe. So he's praying not just for the apostles, but for people who will get saved as a result of the message of the apostles. Guess what? That's you and me. So who he's talking about there is you and me. He's praying for the people who will get saved because of the apostles. That's us. And so he's praying that there would be unity, that there would be a oneness established within the community of people who are believers. Well, let's say that the message of the gospel is how people know they need to be saved. And we should say amen to that, the message of the gospel. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm sure you're thankful for the gospel if you're saved this morning. That means the message comes to us that we need to be saved, and then God speaks to us. Like he works in our hearts. Like we hear about sin, by the way, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Did you know that the ultimate problem that brings us to the understanding that we need to be saved is our sins? So when the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But wrapped up in the meaning of that word confess is an understanding that I'm a guilty sinner. Did you know that being saved isn't just words? It's not reciting a prayer. So that I have on this little card in my back pocket, you know, this prayer. And if you read this prayer, then you can be saved, but that's not salvation. Salvation is the work of the gospel in us. So that you hear the gospel, you know you're a sinner, and God speaks to you and convicts you, and you know you need to be saved, and then you turn your heart to him. And so Jesus here is praying for people who are going to be saved. He's praying that there would be a unity that would be established at salvation. You know what's interesting is, in the end, that would be the number one thing that would unify us. Think about it. If you and I are going to have a closeness, like we talked about community in Sunday school this morning, we need to have that community. Did you know that the one thing that will unify you and me, the ultimate thing that will unify you and me, is Jesus in you and Jesus in me? So that there's a unity that's natural because we are saved. Like, you're saved, I'm saved, and so we have something that we both can be in oneness about. And so it's established right there. So God wants to work in lives, and He wants to save people. And when people get saved, then we can have a closeness that's established right there. You know, we need to let God work in us to have a connection with everybody who's, we know, in this place who's saved, so that there's not anybody on the other side of the aisle or on the other side of the pew, front or in the back of you, that there's a frustration with them or something that hinders a closeness, to say, well, I can never love them, or I can never be close to them, or I could never have fellowship with them. If we're both anchored in Jesus, then you need to put that thought out of your mind. That at salvation, really, that's the beginning of it, isn't it? So we let God work through us and in us. And so there's a unity that's anchored there in salvation. Maybe you this morning, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never turned your heart to Christ. Maybe you have religion, but you don't have a relationship, and there's a difference. What you need this morning is salvation. What you need, only God can give you. And by the way, He's the only way. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And that's an exclusive statement. It means you'll not find salvation in any other way. So it's right there in salvation. We see that in verse 20. Now look at verse 21. That they all may be one. So now He speaks of this oneness. They all. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Look at verse 22. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. So there's a glory that was given to Christ, and then Jesus said, that glory I gave to them. That would be you and I. Now let's think about this for a minute. People who are going to get saved, why are they going to get saved? Well, Jesus said in verse 20 that they'll get saved because of the word of the apostles. The last phrase of verse 20 says that this would happen in their life because of their word. That is the word of the apostles. Well, where did the apostles get their word? Where did it come from? Did they make it up? Did they just kind of making this thing up as they go? No. It was the word that was given to them by Jesus. So here's how it worked. Jesus gave the apostles His word, and then they gave God's word to the people. And because of that, there was a unity that would be established, not just at salvation, but also because of the word. The glory that Jesus was given, Jesus said, I gave that glory to them. And that glory was the light of the Word of God, the light of the gospel. So what unifies us is, watch this, not just salvation, but a unity that's established based upon the doctrine and the standard of God's holy word. Why can we be one? Because we believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God, and you believe the Word of God, and that is the foundation of why we can be in unity together. So the Word of God brings unity, doesn't it? It brings a oneness, so that we embrace the Word of God, and then there's a oneness between us. Reminds me of Philippians chapter 2, you know, where they would have one, they would be in one accord, and that one accord would be because of the Word of God. Think about that verse. This verse right here, I've learned, has been used by ecumenicalism to say that, well, it doesn't, listen, all we need to do is just be in unity and set religion aside. Religion doesn't matter, and all we just need Jesus, and then we can all just be, you know, together and holding hands, and it doesn't matter our denomination. But it's not true in the sense that We can't hold hands with any denomination. Why? Because what brings the unity is not just the anchor of salvation, but the purity of the gospel. The Word of God is what brings us the unity that really ties us together. So if you set doctrine, watch this, if you set the doctrine of God's Word aside, you cannot have the unity that Jesus is praying about. What brings them together is that they have the glory that Jesus was given, and He's giving it to them, the Word. So what do we do at Valley Avenue Baptist Church? And what have we done all the way from the beginning? We study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what the preacher does. Study. Like, why does a preacher study so much? God told us to. He said, study to show thyself approved. By the way, not unto men, but unto God. And then God says this, a workman. Like, oh man, this is hard. You ever open the Bible and just on your cursory reading, just your devotional time, which we should all have every day, you just open your Bible and you read something and you think, man, that's really hard, you know? And that is it only if you're being thoughtful, because sometimes we can read and we're not really being thoughtful, and we just read, and then if somebody quizzed us on what we read, then we would, I don't remember. I just now read it and I can't remember. And so we really need to be thoughtful when we read. And then when you're doing that and you're reading and you're thinking, I don't understand this. Well, that's okay. God, I think God intended that we would need to be workmen. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Be a studier of the Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Why? Because this is the message that anchors us to the gospel, to each other, and keeps the gospel pure, so that when we deliver it to the world, they'll hear a pure, unadulterated message of the gospel, and then they'll have a chance. Remember Brother Brother Riley Barrett, thank you. I don't know, I was thinking his last name was Brother Riley, but that's his first name. Brother Riley Barrett, missionary to England, when he was presenting at the church here those years ago. And in the midst of his message, he was talking about God sending Isaiah to a people to deliver the message of hope. And then God said, and they won't listen to you. You go to tell these people about the message of hope. And then when you deliver the message of hope, they're not going to listen. And Brother Riley asked the question I think we're all asking. Well, then why do it? If they're not going to listen, then why do it? Because it was never our job to win people to Christ. It's always been our job to give them a chance. So we take the message that's pure, the message of the gospel, and we take it to this world so that they'll have a chance to be saved. That's what the gospel does. Did you know that the Bible says in Hebrews that the Word of God is quick? You know what that means? Well, we're going to race. Robbie, you ready? Get on Mark, say go. No, he's all excited. He's like, let's do it. I'm faster than you, which I believe that. So it doesn't mean fast. The Word of God is quick. You know what it means? You know what it means. You're not allowed to answer. Anybody have a guess? The Word of God is quick. What's it mean? Alive. Well done. The Word of God is alive. It's not a dead book. We don't serve a dead God. We learned in Sunday school that He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross and He died and He was buried. But 3 days later, He raised from the dead. What does that say to you and I? He's alive. And His Word is alive. It's quick. So what's that mean? It means when we preach the message of the gospel, it works because it's alive. It speaks to you. Cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So God works through His Word. And that's what unifies us, the Word. I'm thankful for Pastor Chad Beard. I don't think, met somebody that has the intellect and ability to understand passages. Or maybe they're out there, but maybe I've not been as close as friends with them as you and I. And so there's so many times we'd be in the office and we would be looking at a passage and it would just be a sharpening time. You know what matters to him, like it matters to me, is that we get the Word of God right. That we don't just, you know, what does that mean to you? Well, let me tell you what it means to me. It doesn't matter what it means to you, and it doesn't matter what it means to me. What does God say? What does it mean? There's not multiple meanings. The Word of God means what it means, and God says what He says. So that is what unifies us, the Word of God. So we need the preaching. We need it. It's what anchors us to the gospel and the purity of the gospel, but it's what anchors us together so we can stand firm on what we believe because we know what we believe. So there's unity that's established because of the Word of God. Let's go on. That's verse number 20 through 23, really, but we saw it in 22 with the glory. Look at verse 21 again. We'll read to verse 23. It says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me. So we're talking about one, that oneness, that unity. Father, art in me, and I in thee. Now look at this next phrase. That they also may be one in us, that the world, here it is, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that unity that's established at salvation and the doctrines of the Word of God, right? Then the world sees it. That's what he said. He said in that verse, the last part of verse 22, the world may believe. So now we're talking about your coworkers. Now we're talking about those kids at school. Dustin, those kids that go to school, and you probably know a bunch of them, they're like, that guy needs Jesus, and that guy needs Jesus. And you're like, a lot of them, probably most of them, they need Jesus. They don't have him. They need him. You know what I mean? This is what he's saying. The people that are around you, they need Jesus. How are they going to see it? Well, somehow, your salvation and the unity, the unity of these believers anchored by the Word of God, somehow God uses this to touch the world. That the world may believe, meaning that they'll see and they'll know the gospel and they'll be touched because of it. Look where he goes. Let's go on. He says it again. Verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, the word of God, the light of the gospel, that they may be one, even as we are one. Can't have that unity without the word. Now, verse 23, I in them and thou in me. By the way, that right there, that phrase right there, I in them and thou in me. Really, that is an entire sermon right there. I'm not going to do that sermon right now, but we'll leave that for Pastor Chad. But that right there, I in them, you can't do it without him in you. You think you can do it without God doing it in the flesh? You can't. I in them, and thou in me, and that's all we need. Need a t-shirt that says that, maybe. Let's go on. That they may be made perfect in one, and there it is again, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. But look what he says next. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So unity of salvation, that we're both saved, and then unity anchored in the Word of God because we have the message, the same message of the Word of God. We have unity there. The world sees it, but what do they see? Do they see us high-fiving each other? And what is it that the world sees? The world says, as I have loved them. So that there is a love that is developed in us for each other because of this unity, because of Christ. So there's love. Did you know that love that he's talking about here is what the world sees? That's what affects the world, the love that we have for each other and for the world. Love meaning not hate. Let me read a verse to you. I wanted to memorize this, and then I didn't, so I'm just going to read it to you. In John, don't turn there, but in John chapter 13, or actually we're right here in John, go to chapter 13. Keep your finger in chapter 17. Go to chapter 13. When you're there in chapter 13, look at verse 35. It says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So there, and you can, I just wanted you to see that. You can go back to John 17 now. So there Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have for each other. John in his epistle said this in chapter 4, if a man say I love God and hate his brother, he is a what? He's a liar. That's what John said. So God says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have for each other. So it's not just that we affect each other because of our love. We talked about that in Sunday school through edification and exhortation in the community of church, and we're uplifted and we feel a peace when we're here, and we need to be here and God works in us. But the love that we have for each other, that's what the world sees. That's how the world knows that you're a disciple, because of the love. So we need God to take everything away from us that isn't that love. Everything in us that's critical of other people and that's angry about other people and that has resentment about other people. And we need God to remove that. Why? Because it disrupts unity. Listen, I think that we get this, right? The Bible, I think one of the things that God says He hates the most is when people sow discord among the brethren. When there's people who are talking behind the back of other people. Why does God hate that so much? It's the exact opposite of loving each other. It's the exact opposite of what cultivates the unity that will cause the world to be touched by the gospel. It's like it all connects, right? And it all works together. The gospel, the purity of the gospel, the message of the word of God, the love that we have for each other, and the world sees that. And when we let God work that in us, then the church has effectiveness. God, listen, this isn't something that works in some churches and doesn't work in other churches. This is what God says. He's praying for His disciples, and then at the first part of this, verse 20, God says, and I pray for them, all them that will believe because of their word. So that's us. That's Valley Avenue today. This will work in this church. And God wants to work this in the church here. But what establishes that unity in the end is love. Isn't that amazing? Why don't we just preach about love all the time? Well, write it down. We're doing it right now. We need to love each other. That means we need to stop being upset all the time. That means we need to stop being sensitive. How about that? Write it down. Stop being sensitive. Amen. Let's not so easily get offended. We need to give people the benefit of the doubt. I know why they did that. No, you don't. I mean, unless they tell you, this Brother Chad, Pastor, this is why I did this. Now I know why you did it. But if they didn't plainly tell you why they did it, then let's not think we can read minds and know why people did it. But how about this? How about we give grace to somebody even if we know why they did it? I know why they said that. Or they said that. I can't believe they said that. How about we just give them grace anyway? Jesus said, listen to this. I'll give you even better. Jesus loved the world that was throwing rocks at Him and spitting on Him. He loved them in the midst of that. So honestly, we have no excuse. But listen to this. And be ye kind. We should have learned that when we're this big, right? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why should we do that? In the same verse, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we live with that spirit, God strengthening us to not be sensitive, but to be loving and gracious to the people around us, to be forgiving. It's amazing how that'll just bring us together. Like, I'm not mad at you anymore. Well, you know, because we got things settled or whatever. No. I just decided to love. And we have a church that just decides to love each other. At the foundation is Jesus. God says He'll put a unity in that church that the world will see. And what does the world specifically see? They see us loving each other. And they see us loving them. And it affects them. Touches them. You know what distracts people from being interested in a church? When there's bickering. When there's tension. Do you like being in tense places? You can feel it, right? Like, oh man, something's going on there. Now, I've just learned from a young person earlier that they actually enjoy watching people fuss with each other. It's like entertaining to them, you know. I don't think people will be interested in continuing to come to church because they like watching us bicker with each other. And they bring their popcorn. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen at church today? You know, they're going to have a little, is there going to actually be a fight? Ooh, this is a good one. No, people, that they won't be attracted to that. They'll be distracted. They won't want to be here. The boys and I, we like to, and Melissa, we like to go camping. It's our thing. Mostly because it's cheap. Can't afford to do any other vacation. So, but now we enjoy it. We have all the gear and we have all the camping stuff. So, and we go out and we camp and we have a good time. When we first get to the campsite, that's like the worst part of the whole thing, because you got to set up the camp. I mean, it took forever to get all the junk in the car. Now you got to take it out and set it up, and it's just a huge process. And everybody knows it's miserable. There isn't anybody who's thinking, you know, my favorite part of camping is setting up. Raise your hand if that's you. Okay, so we can all say, man, look at that weirdo. Nobody likes setting up. So when we get to camp and it's time to set up, it seems like all the boys have to go to the bathroom. You know, like, oh, it's time to set up camp. Oh, man, I got to go to the bathroom. We've been holding it forever. You know, and the bathroom happens to be on the other side of the universe. So and then before they're leaving, they shout this, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be back when the work's done. You know, and they're gone. You know what that doesn't do? It doesn't create a spirit of unity in the family. There's tension there right at the start. So then when they get back, I'm like, where you been? You know, and then there's that tension. I'm thinking, surely you didn't have to go to the bathroom, you know, for an hour. I mean, come on. Well, the same is true in the church. So that whenever there's friction, it doesn't attract, it distracts. It keeps us focused on something that's petty usually. Let me say that again. That was like my favorite statement of this whole sermon so far. That what distracts is whenever our focus is on petty stuff. You know, when we need to get over that petty stuff and just give it to God and forgive and move forward, and we get focused on that and all our attention is on the petty things, and it distracts away from what we're here to do. Keeps people from wanting to be here at all, you know. You know what's amazing? Brother Steve, tell me your son's name. I am so sorry I forgot. What is it? It's Doug. I should have known. Grant's middle name is Douglas. You know, I had only seen Doug a few times. And then remember moving day, and it was men's breakfast, and Doug just came on that day. I'm like, oh man, you picked the wrong day to come. We're packing the U-Haul today. And I had no idea that he used to be a professional packer guy. Like, he would pack things. I'm like, oh man, God sent you, because we got more stuff than can get in this truck. We had a 15-foot trailer, and we needed to get all our stuff in there. 15-foot, by the way, that's small for a family of six. And so we went over to the house, and it was incredible. Doug was in there. It was picturesque. And those of you there, you remember. Doug's in there, and he is like a surgeon with packing. I mean, it was breathtaking, actually. I mean, if you like organization and stuff, it brings tears to your eyes. Man, this guy's amazing. So he's packing things in there, and he's like, no. And he redoes it, and he's like, ah, that's better. And it's just like perfect, you know. And then he goes, okay, guys, I need a long wind that's thin. And everybody's just shouting. We have this train of people. They're just from the truck all the way into the house. It's like telephone, message. We need a long, short, long, you know, a long, skinny one. And then we'd pass the box up, and it would go through the chain, and then it would get to Doug, and he would put it in, and then he'd tell us the next thing. We did that for a couple hours until we, incredible. True story. Put the last box in, and it was stacked from the bottom of the trailer to the ceiling, and the last box barely fit in there, and we closed the door, and we were like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. That's unity. That's teamwork right there. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. Now we're going to have a little bit of fun. So I need a couple helpers, and I feel like they're just volunteering by sitting on the front row, don't you? Maybe there's some back here that needs to volunteer to help out. No, okay. So let's see. Caleb, you come up. Dustin, Alex, Robbie, you come up. You come over on this side. Ava, Zoe. We'll use the young ones. Okay, Robbie, come over here on this side. So I need somebody on the platform. I need somebody on the first step, and then I need somebody on the floor. Or you can be on the floor, and then you can be that way a little bit. Okay, so you face everybody out there. Same thing on this side, guys. Dustin here. Alex on the floor, Caleb out a bit, on the floor, out a bit, that way a little bit, Caleb. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go this way, all the way over here, and then it's going to get back here to whoever is still awake, and then it'll come across here. Brother Josh, you're going to come right to the middle because you're going to be our transfer from this side to this side. You stand right in the middle, okay? And then it's going to come around this way. It's going to come up here. Now, what we're going to have, this is a gap. This is a problem right here. So we're going to have to put Miss Christy, you get right here on the second row. And Miss Misty, you're going to have to come right here. Brother Justin here. And sweetie, tell me your name. I forgot. Allie, you come right here and sit right in front of Brother Jerry. Okay, now I think we're ready. Okay, so you're going to, you see right here? This is how it's going to work. Okay, now I want to see how good we can do at transferring this all the way around the building back to me. Which way should we start? I already said this way. So let's see how we do. Don't drop it. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't have glass in it. Don't worry. Negative. I should have known that you would want to do that, though. Give everybody a hand. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you for my present, everybody. What'd you give me? You want to see? You want to see? I heard like one person. Are we awake? Ooh, I can't wait to see it. Who packed this? What? Yeah. It can't be good. That's right. Do you know what we just did? Together, we delivered the light. Did you know that that's what unity does? The more unified we are, the brighter the light shines. We give people a chance. Don't you wish sometimes you could make people do right? Moms and dads, don't we? People who just care about people in your community, don't you wish? There are people, watch, listen, I was here for 10 years. There's people who got saved in this church, they're not here this morning. They should be. They still live here. They should be here. We just need to make them come. No, we can't make them come. But you know what we can do? We can shine the light bright. But do you know what causes the light to become dim so that it's not bright? What disrupts the brightness of the gospel? It's always disunity. It distracts. When there's tension and stress and there's a focus on offenses and a sensitivity. So what we need is God to work in us a love. Starting with salvation. If you need to be saved this morning, you're not even beginning yet. And it could be that you thought you're saved, but you've not really turned your heart to Christ. You kind of have an outward expression of salvation, but there's no inward reality or transformation. And you've wondered, why is it so hard for me to love people? Because there's no light in you. That light needs to be in you before it can come out of you. And so it might be this morning you need to be saved. Certainly we know people who need to be saved, but we're not talking about the people we know who need to be saved. We're talking about you. And it might be that you need to be saved this morning. It might be that you've not embraced the doctrines of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and Pastor Chad's message. And there's a disruption in the unity because You've just not fully embraced it yet. It might be that you know what you believe, you know you're saved, you know the doctrine and you believe it, but you're struggling with forgiveness and love, and it distracts. Let me encourage you, if you've wandered away looking for the bathroom during camp setup time, if you've gotten away, and there's a disruption in the unity of Valley Avenue, and I'm not preaching this because I see something, I'm just saying this because it might be true. Let me encourage you to come back. Let me encourage you to get it right. Because what will happen will just be natural. The light will shine. And people will see it. And according to what Jesus said, they'll believe. We just need God to work through us. Father, we're grateful that we had the privilege to be able to be in your word this morning, and what a great time we've had just seeing the message of the gospel and seeing the message of hope and the message of love here. I pray that you'd help us to learn, as it says in John 13:35 that we read just a moment ago, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one for another." I pray that you would help us to see that, to be convicted and touched by it. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help Valley Avenue Baptist Church to shine brighter than ever. Help, sir, that there would be some perhaps who maybe this morning need to be saved. Maybe there are some this morning who need to anchor themselves to the doctrine of your word, and there might be some who just need to, they just need your help to forgive and move past things and to not be sensitive, but to be mature in the gospel and then to love each other. We know that the natural result of that will be that people will see and will believe. I just pray that you would do that work in your people. Everybody has their own need, but you know what that need is, and you touch us. I give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone stand, and Brother Michael, play the piano. God's worked in your heart. The altar is open for you.